Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland. This is episode 50, guys. I feel like we have reached a milestone.
It's our
50th anniversary.
When we started.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
What do we get each other for the 50th?
Is that paper?
Paper's lame.
I think you give me money on that day.
Isn't it?
I think you give me money. And then next year I give you guys something.
Is
I think that's how it works.
Silver maybe?
I think so.
No, or is
but
that
you
the
know
25th?
What?
I never thought we'd get to 50.
We have a little problem.
What's that?
We promised Marty Griffin that he would be our feature guest on our 50th episode.
Yes.
And we forgot to ask.
But he decided to go on his second honeymoon.
Wow.
Yeah, so
How cool is that?
You think we should call him?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's do
Let's interrupt his vacation.
Yes.
Well, since you said second honeymoon, absolutely.
Anything could be happening.
So we're dialing. We're dialing.
Sir.
Marty.
Sir.
You're live on our podcast, Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland. We thought you were going to be here for our 50th episode.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
So we have you. So here you are. We have you on, Marty.
Hi, Marty.
We're sorry to interrupt your second honeymoon.
We're having sex right now.
That's awesome.
Are you driving yet?
It's called highway sex. Have you not done this, fellas?
Actually, no.
I'm sorry.
Actually,
I don't deny any of this.
Christine, I apologize for cutting into your private time.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Well, you know, if it was that private, he wouldn't have picked up the phone.
But it wouldn't have been 50th. We couldn't do it without you, Marty. We could not do the show. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep if you weren't on the show.
Enjoy your hiatus.
Yeah.
And your second honeymoon. And,
happy honeymoon.
We'll see you on the Big K Morning Show.
Oh, my God.
Bye, Marty. I'm Marty.
That's fun.
That's unfiltered.
That's good for a podcast.
You know what's
crazy? We were a PG podcast. Now we're an X-rated.
Well, only because of Marty.
It's kind of soft R, I think.
Listen.
PG-13.
Christine, his lovely wife,
mm-hmm.
comes in every week for an hour, and it's kind of like being a fly on the wall with the two of them.
Right.
And
one can only imagine.
What Marty says about his wife and then what Christine says about what Marty says is kind of interesting. But she plays along. But somebody said, I don't get it.
What?
You have Christine, who seems just like the all-American girl.
Right.
And then you have Marty. He's kind of like that bad boy in school. So, Sheila, what is the attraction for all-American girls and bad boys?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. Thank you very much.
I want to know.
So you're a beautiful woman. You would know.
Well, I was married for 20-some years to someone who had... Oh, I should be careful what I'm saying here, but... was known to have a lot of women before we met.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was probably seen as more of the good girl type.
Okay.
But yeah, there is something about the bad boy that's enticing. It's not necessarily that healthy for some people anyway. But yeah, I mean, the bad boy, it's... There's something about them.
Yeah, that's good.
I no longer ascribe to that though. I don't go that way anymore.
I'm trying to get bad, so I'm holding. You guys know I'm holding my virginity till the right time.
Till tomorrow.
Yeah, till the right moment, and so I have to break bad. I got to break bad, like Walter White.
Well, let me ask you. You're still out in the dating world.
I'm out there, buddy.
How's it going?
That's a combat, my friend.
Oh, gee. Do tell.
It's, well, it's interesting, let's just say. I find a real nice girl that I'm hanging with, and it, but there's a lot of it's fun, actually. I actually enjoy it. Get to meet a lot of nice people. It's exciting. You know, it's pretty cool. I joke about it, but it's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, you know, I was married also for 24 years, so I know both sides.
Yeah.
Both sides are great. Both sides have their greatness. Both sides have their downsides. It's basically like, it's, you know, really is no perfect
world.
For
both of you, well, you're still married, obviously. Larry, how many years?
34.
Okay. So you were married 24 years.
Yeah.
I was married 27 or so. To go out into the dating world after that long, it's so different.
It's like those,
I mean, it is so different.
It's like those movies where you see the guy goes to jail for like 50 years and comes out and doesn't know what a cell phone is and things. It's like that same. What is this?
It's just,
you could ask it a question and it answers.
I don't even remember how do people used to meet prior to meeting online.
You know, it's funny. There was a bar. Remember, the old way was the bars. Go to clubs, bars, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometime a friend, blind date, they called it. There was a bar when I was a kid. It was about early 20s. It's down in Market Square. Greatest invention ever.
Alexander Graham Bell.
Thank you. You just read my mind.
Whoa.
Alexander Graham Bell's.
Good memory.
No one has duplicated this idea, and it was genius for singles, because what it was, Alexander Graham Bell, every table had a phone. And so, say a beautiful woman like Sheila's across the room, and you have a map of all the chairs. So I'd say Sheila's at number 18 table. You could pick the phone up and dial and talk to the person.
Seriously. And this is pre-
You sound like you did it. Did you try
pre-mobile.
That?
Pre-mobile.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I was there.
Here's our
it was ingenious.
Right?
Yeah. And this was-
This was pre-mobile, like you said. No one thought of it.
And every table had a phone, and you could see the number was on a grid, and you could, if
really?
You wanted to introduce yourself, hey, babe, I'll be back to pick you up later.
But is that not the greatest idea? Because, you know, the girl doesn't want, yeah, okay, thanks. If you like girl or whatever, send the drink over. It's kind of cool, though.
But here's the difference, though. But that's all based on initial looks, am I right?
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
Okay. But online dating, you really get to know the person first, typically, before you even meet them. Now, you may see pictures of them.
It's
more advanced. But that's what I mean. It's just, it's still so different.
Yeah, it is.
Than even that.
Well, right. Well, the photos, too. Don't forget the photos.
They're all fake.
You know.
Well.
Sure. Get there.
They're enhanced.
Yeah.
Right?
No. No. I mean, mine was just nothing but my head and some big sunglasses because I didn't want anybody to recognize me.
Wow. They were dating a spy.
Well, I did get some comments like, can we see more of you?
Yeah, are you undercover?
Can I see more of
you?
Wow. Andy almost passed me up.
Sure, Andy.
He wasn't sure.
Andy thought.
But he took the chance.
Andy probably thought
he took the chance.
He's dating someone from the Witness Protection Program.
That's hilarious. I want to see more of you. How about some of you?
I want to know, now, do you and Cindy ever recreate, like, let's go out, let's have a date night?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good
on
paper.
No, married. Dude, I remember that stuff. Sure, you got to do it all.
Well,
you got to get a little effort. You got to give a little effort.
You got to stay
when you're doing
it
when you're married.
Yeah, I mean, after 34 years, it's challenging to recreate the date night excitement.
Have you guys ever read a book? I recommend people read this book. The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott.
I've heard of it.
I'm reading it for the second time, for the second time.
There's a section, there's about three chapters he has on love. And it is the most incredible, I think, written chapters about what love is. And he basically is explaining from a, you know, scientific point of view, I guess, or through research or whatever. But, and also as a psychiatrist would say. And he said, when we meet, as you know, you get this endorphin rush, okay? Because you just met this person, you're attracted to them. Now, that endorphin rush just drops and, you know, you're just, I'm in love, or can you say? And it's part of love. It is in a way. And then we all of a sudden connect. But it is about 2 years after that goes away, that's when love begins, real love. Because now it's a choice. That syrup's gone. Whatever that is, gone. It's your choice. Love is a choice. It's two individuals coming together independently independently and celebrating each other. If it's not, then it's just two people eating away at each other. It's not, that's not love.
You've got to get out of your
love.
Head. You know, those endorphins and so forth, as you mentioned, they do die down.
Yeah.
And then what do you have after that?
That's when love begins.
That's when the relationship really happens.
That's when it starts and love begins. If you're, you know, you say, okay, I choose this person. You know, this is the one I choose. I get along with them. We have fun. We laugh. And that's where it starts. But the actual endorphins, we all get that. And it depends how we value that, too, as we get that, you know.
That reminds me of Foreigner's song, I Want to Know What Love Is.
Yes.
I got to introduce Foreigner on stage.
Oh,
Lou Gramm, and I said,
sweet.
And this was just down in Anna Maria Island last year.
I remember that. It's cool. Yeah, last year.
And my line was, so I was with Elliot Falcioni, the executive director of the Bradenton Convention and Visitors Bureau, which I told you guys about.
We're still going to go there. Love Bradenton.
We're going to go there this year.
I've traveled all over the world, but I've been to Bradenton about 20 times in my life because of spring training.
He introduced me, and I introduced Lou Gramm and Foreigner, and I said, I'm only here because I want to know what love is. Yes. And I looked at Elliot and said, I don't want you to show me.
No.
But, by the way, Jimmy, you gave me this great line from Uncle Dirty, who wrote, I guess, jokes for who?
Richard Pryor and Carlin, and George Carlin. Both of those guys confirmed it, too.
Two of the greatest of all time, right?
Yeah.
So we had this big meeting. This was here, a monthly meeting for the entire station.
Yeah.
And at the end, Dave Labrosi, our brand manager, we used to call him program directors, was there with our GM, SPAC.
Yeah.
And they said, does anybody have any questions or comments? And I said, yeah, I do. And they all looked at me like, where's he going with this? And I said, I just talked to Jimmy Crenn, and Jimmy met a famous comedy writer, Uncle Dirty, who wrote for Richard Pryor and George Carlin. Mm-hmm. And now they're really looking at me like, where is he going with this? And I said, good is the enemy of great. And
there you go.
SPAC finished it.
There you go.
He knew it. And I'm like, yeah. And the message is, you can be satisfied with harmless mediocrity, or you can
go
choose to be great.
And there's a risk in that.
And there is a risk.
And I'm shocked. When did Mike work with Uncle Dirty? I have to ask him.
I don't know. We got to ask back. How did he know what I was going to say? No,
it's just good is the enemy, great. And it's a thing where I forgot about that until we talked about that. And I've been using it in my head.
Jimmy, I told you on the phone the other day, I said, I've been everywhere I go, I'm throwing that out there like it's new material.
And what's the response?
I was with Pitt football coach Pat Narduzzi.
There you go.
Oh, you used it on him too.
On the Pat Narduzzi show.
That's cool.
With one of the players, big lineman, Marcus Miner. And he was talking about why he chose Pitt.
Right.
He's a grad transfer, came from Maryland. Mm-hmm. Because he said they never talked about winning a championship at Maryland. He said, but when he heard Coach Narduzzi talk, their breakdown was ACC champs.
Right.
That was before the season last year. And he thought, well, that's pretty bold. But isn't that what you want to choose? To be great.
You want to go for it.
So I said, and I used your quote again, with the coach, who's a good motivational guy. You know, he's a fiery, emotional guy. I said, good is the enemy of great.
What'd he say?
And Marcus Miner's like, yes. And Coach Narduzzi's looking at me like, I like that.
There you go.
Profound. Larry. Huh? You know it all.
I stole it from Uncle Dirty through Jimmy Crenn.
Oh,
Uncle Dirty's going to...
You shouldn't have given it away.
Uncle Dirty, that's tremendous. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's cool.
And I've used it in some other places, too.
Okay.
I saw... Did you ever watch Bryant Gumbel's Real Sports?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh,
love it.
I mean, it's really deep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They go really deep into the weeds on stories, and I love that. And they talked about this skier... Michaela, I forget her last name, Olympic skier. She was anticipated to win all these medals skiing, but she kind of crapped out at three events.
Right.
And she had done all this stuff to get to that point in the conversation. And I was yelling, good
is the enemy of great TV.
Yeah.
Because she was saying it, you know, even though she stumbled, you know, she chose to be
risk.
Great.
To chose, you have to choose to be great. Yeah, it's right. A nice line there. Like, you have to choose to take
the risk.
Well,
thank you for sharing that, because I got some mileage out of that.
And I was thinking, it helped me to remember it. I was at Seven Springs this past week doing a show.
How'd that go?
It went great. Sold out. Everybody's in a great mood, you know?
Except for one thing.
One thing. Bad knee. Mm-hmm. I have gout in my knee, believe it or not.
Ouch.
Yes, it's the most painful thing. I used to get my toe. It's the first time I ever got my knee. I had to deduct that it was gout. And now, this is weird, because I remember being on stage. I had to tell the crowd, because I limped up on the stage. And I said...
You hobbled.
I hobbled. I was hobbling up. No crutch, just hobbled. Hopped, kind of. It was weird. But I looked at the crowd, and I said, look, I actually injured my knee. I don't know how. Because think about it. It's gout. I didn't know it was gout at the time. My knee's just hurting. I'm like, how do I get out of bed 2 days ago, and I'm injured. So I told the guy if he would... knock me over on a ski, at the end of bottom like a ski lift, so I could at least tell people I hurt at skiing. So I said, "How'd you hurt your knee?" Seven Springs.
Sounds like a much sexier North
Face
excuse.
You know, took it out.
Face.
North Face took it out.
Black It'll
get better.
Diamond.
Yeah, Black Diamond. You know how it is. I'll get it fixed. But so it ended up being it's gout. So I have anti-inflammatories in me, prednisone. But it's the most painful thing if you ever had gout. You've got it.
I never
women
have.
I heard
of
it. My father used to get it.
And your dad got it.
No, so I know, okay, beer. Wow. What is it?
Yes,
shellfish?
Every
what
single
causes
food.
It?
Everything that I eat. Everything I eat. beer, shellfish, anything sweet. Here's the thing. I researched this because I have gotten gout through the years, you know, since I was late 20s, which is weird. You don't get them in late 20s usually. So I did research on it. And really... If you look into it, they really don't know what causes it. They know there's this thing, allopurinol, that lowers your uric acid. That helps. But they really don't know. And something dawned on me with gout, why I have it. I have a sickness that hurts, that won't kill me, okay? And you recover eventually from it. So there's no cure. You're not going to get a lot of money. You're not going to have people on TV going, we got to wipe out gout in our time. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Yes, because it's so low down the list. It'll never be cured because there's never going to be enough money because people are going to sit there and go, there's a walk for gout today. No, there's no walk for gout because no one cares. Because they're like, by the time we'd raise the fundraiser started, my knee's better. And they're like, well, I thought he got hurting.
That's
we give money to
cold.
The guy can dance up there. I'm like, yeah, but it hurt before.
And right below that is socks without partners.
Yes, socks without partners. Poor gout sufferers out there with me. We got a bank. Let's start. Is there a gout association? No. Do we have Larry Host of the gout?
Right.
There could be a new role for
of
you,
all the
Jimmy.
Charities I've ever done. I never did one for gout.
Thank you. I'm starting one right now.
Okay.
Jim
good.
Crenn's.
Gout for humanity.
Gout for humanity. The Gout Foundation.
The Gout Brigade.
The Gout Foundation. Donate now.
I'm wearing a t-shirt, the Gout Brigade.
Do not send beer.
I want to wipe this out in our time. That's the whole thing. I get all emotional. I don't
what is it,
gout
actually?
Bleed.
You said
I don't know.
Shellfish?
Well, what it is if you have high uric acid, you're either going to get one or two things. You're going to get kidney stones, which are even worse, I think, than gout. I thank God, knock wood, haven't had those. So you either go that way with kidney stones or you go with gout. It's a crystallization. The same little thing in the kidney stone that they got to flush through your body, which is horrible. But it's the same thing, but it lodges in a joint and that until it dissolves or, you know, moves on. So it's in your toe usually.
So it's a physiological.
It's an arthritic.
Pain. It's like you got a piece of glass in your joint.
Yes, it's in the arthritic family.
Yeah, I understand. It's extremely painful.
It's equivalent. To breaking a bone,
to
the feeling
birth
continuously.
Ooh,
I have a friend that just is coming off like major. Jeff, my buddy, the radio guy.
Yeah, the gout.
No, kidney stones.
Oh God. Oh. Okay.
He said they went up through his urethra.
Yeah, and I don't. Oh, then it sounds as bad as it sounds bad. And I'm sure
you,
it is
Sheila.
That bad.
I don't know what it'd be like for women, but the thought of that.
Don't
for a guy,
ever touch my urethra. It's one place that is off limits.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank
that is
you.
Off limits.
I don't think there's
safe.
Any concerns there.
You're safe
I don't
want here.
Anything
this is your safe zone
near my urethra.
This, do they anesthetize you first before they go up your
That's
urethra?
What I asked them, because that is my number one. Like, if you're going to go to the hospital and they're going to do something like that, you're going to knock me out.
You know how they have those badges? Like, if you're allergic to something, I'm going to put on my little badge, a medic alert badge, don't touch my urethra. I'm going to go say no. You know? Is he allergic to anything? No, but it says don't touch his urethra on his badge.
I had a colonoscopy last year, and they put you in, you know, you're under, but I yes. woke up. Oh, it's terrifying.
What? You woke up?
Oh, in the middle
Sheila,
of it?
You're laying on your side.
Right.
You know, you got that gown they drape over you.
Yes.
So at that point, you're, you know, when the nurse is talking right before you go under from the anesthesia, okay, you know, next thing you know, you're in la-la land. See, I don't remember
propofol, which is what you Michael woke, Jackson had.
But right, I swear to God. So I'm laying on my side, and I guess he's doing his thing, the doc. And they're
That's the way to call it.
And I wake up.
On the other end.
And they're talking about lacrosse, their kids playing lacrosse, the nurse
oh my God.
And the doctor.
Well.
And I answered one of her questions.
You did.
And she goes, oh.
And Larry's up.
They cranked something. I was gone.
Thank God you didn't wake up to like margaritas and dancing and partying. It's like, you know, Larry's like the pinata or something.
I just had that procedure done three days ago. Now, the prep is much worse than I remember it when I had it first done 10 years ago. I mean, we're talking 3 days of
it's not good.
Prep
three
and
days?
A special diet, first of all, and then you start the prep about 36 hours before the procedure.
Yes.
I mean, it was...
It's not pretty.
It was a nightmare this time. Last time, I don't remember it being that difficult, but...
You good?
I'm good, yes.
I had mine a long time ago. I shouldn't avoid it, but I should do it pretty soon. But it's one of those things where, I'll get there.
That stuff they give you to knock you out there, it's so good.
Well, that's true. Procedure itself is
nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
You get the
you're out.
You're like
you're out unless you're Larry and wake up and there's a party going on around you. Other than that,
and the lacrosse, and I'm like, that was awful. But we got to put the 60-second rule in. Did I tell you about that? The guy.
What's the 60-second rule?
So I met this older guy, older than us, and that would be to Jimmy and I, not you.
Yeah,
you.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
He meets with his guys, coffee. They're in their 80s, his buddies.
Okay.
And he goes, I got the 60-second rule with my group. I go, what's that? He said, you got 60 seconds to talk about your medical maladies. That includes prescription drugs and your family members.
I'm all in. I like that.
So he said, and we time you.
Okay.
If you start down that road.
You get 60 seconds.
You get 60 seconds. Wrap it up, then we're moving on.
This is how you know when you've reached older age.
Yeah.
Not old age, but older age. Because you do start talking about colonoscopies and gout and your urethra.
I like it. I'm going to do that. Well, I'm going to do...
Don't touch my urethra. Wristbands are available.
Don't even bring it. I'm going to do 90 seconds. So I like it. The whole idea. I just need a little more
90?
Time. I need a little more time.
You need a little more time.
You take a little longer to tell the story.
I like a minute. Minute's good. But 90 seconds, I'm all in. Because I can get a little more out. I just got to get a little more.
Oh, my God.
You know, because I got a long list.
And it's true, Sheila. What do you do when you get together with friends at some point when you ask how somebody is?
Boom. Oh,
they're going to tell you.
Because
they're
it's happening all of a sudden to you. You know, as we get older, it's like these aches and pains, man. My gout. By then, we will have wiped out gout in our time, I hope, by the time we're in our 80s, Larry.
And then we'll have to start up the urethra foundation.
Oh, it even scares me when you say that word. It scares me when you say that word, urethra.
I don't even like that word.
No, it doesn't.
And
don't touch my urethra.
And who named the planets Uranus?
That's our new t-shirt.
Like,
it's
what were
true.
They thinking?
What was that one? That was a joke, right? They were joking. One scientist was joking, right?
It had to be. I want to know who
Mars,
came up with that.
Venus.
They go, yeah, that's great.
Uranus.
Of all the words in the world in the universe.
Let's give them Uranus, right?
Let's call that planet Uranus. Years from now, people will be saying, we've just landed on Uranus.
Uranus. That's why they did it. There was a scientist who did that as a joke thinking, that's the ultimate goal. He said, I won't be here for it. But like 50 years from now, God will be wiped out and we'll be landing on Uranus. And he'll be saying
it's like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the former planet known as Pluto.
Yes.
I mean, different connotation.
Pluto's back now.
Pluto's back now.
I'm going to either name it urethra or Uranus. He went Uranus. Because urethra had been hurt, painful too.
Or Klingons are circling Uranus.
Yes. It's nonstop.
From
it's
Star
right there.
Wars. Yeah,
yes.
I mean, come on.
Believe me.
You're right,
I
Jimmy.
I love
I'm going to investigate.
Stuff.
Hey, let's see. Because Siri was just trying to talk to me. Hey, Siri. What scientist named Uranus?
Here's an answer from history.com. It was German astronomer Johann Bode who recommended the name Uranus, a Latinized version of the Greek god of the sky, Uranus. However, the name Uranus didn't gain full acceptance until the mid-1800s.
Yeah, because Uranus is funnier.
Okay, so but she pronounced it Uranus.
Yeah. But whoever that doctor was, that guy?
Dr. Vinnie Bombatz.
He is funny. That guy's a comedian. He did that just
he
for the joke.
He did that. He knew what he was doing.
Oh, come on. Exactly. He goes, I just think it's to be Uranus. And they're like, oh, okay.
There you
go. He got home and just, he probably couldn't even keep a straight face seeing
it. How about Siri knowing that? That's disturbing.
Now, what's her accent there? You don't have the
typical
Siri.
I have an Australian woman.
Oh.
You know why?
I like
because
that.
Because Siri sounded so much like my wife. And I'd be in the car by myself. I'd be getting yelled at.
Right.
Recalculating. All right, Cindy.
So change Siri to a little Australian, beautiful Australian voice.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going
to
do that today.
Yeah, but you should see what she really looks like.
I have mine in a Pittsburgh. I have a Pittsburgh one in my series, not called Siri. Mine's called Joanne. You know, it's like, hey, Joanne, what's the temperature? What I look like, the weatherman? Go look at the window. You know, Joanne, stop it right there. You ask too many questions, Jimmy. It's not easy being with Joanne, but I like it.
All right. Are we done with the medical talk?
Let's talk more. I could talk.
I don't know. I think
we
went way over our 60 seconds.
Yeah, well, I take the blame.
Oh, wait, Jimmy's not done. See?
I take the blame because of the gout. Sorry, apologize.
It's all right.
I couldn't stop.
We're glad your gout is better.
Thank you, Sheila.
That's right. How's your urethra?
Quick question.
That's another question about urethra.
Marty Griffin, our featured guest for our 50th episode, he asked, real or artificial? Sheila, I'm talking about trees, Christmas trees.
Concerned. Oh, I was thinking something else. I was going to say, I like both.
I'm like, mine are real, but oh, wait,
I
trees.
Like them both, really.
Okay.
I would never ask a woman. I mean, it's obvious.
I would hope not.
No, I would never do
but
that.
But if you're answering the question, I
real
like them both.
Or artificial tree?
Artificial.
Me too.
Artificial all day long.
Yeah.
I don't need needles.
You pull them out year after year after year.
Well,
you save yourself a lot of money.
Yeah. So we put this out on the air. And some people called with some real tree horror stories.
Really?
One was a black snake came out of the tree.
That is a...
Once they dragged it in the house.
That's crazy. I don't know what I do.
Oh.
I don't know what I do.
I don't like snakes. Just like Raiders of the Lost Ark. The other thing was, and this was Patrick O'Connor, who works with Get Marty.
Okay.
He said, oh, I saw on the floor there was something moving and it was getting bigger.
What?
And it was a spider's nest had it released.
Oh my God. That's the end of that. That's the end of that, man.
There will never be a live tree then.
I was even thinking of possibly a real tree.
As a child, so we had real trees. My dad put the one on the back porch for a while. They used to set it. Hey, will you stop?
Your Australian lady can't stop.
She can't stop talking to me.
Seriously?
I didn't even ask her a
you.
Question.
She likes you. She's nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they would put up everything on Christmas Eve. The tree, the train, the presents. And one year my dad pulled the tree off the back porch, put it up, and it was frozen. I mean, it had snowed and it was really cold.
Right.
And as it thawed, a strong sense of urine emanated from it. Oof. Well, it turns out before the leash laws, the neighborhood dogs were using it as a fire hydrant.
To relieve themselves.
And
yes.
That cured us. After that year, we went to the artificial.
I experienced the same thing in a different way. I got a real tree about 4 years ago, and Larry, the dog, not Larry, the person, thought it was a gift for him to do that. He thought he'd walk by it, he'd take a little shot at it, and walk off. And I was like, Larry, this is not what you do here. This is not in the spirit of Christmas. He didn't care.
Our dog would do that with the artificial tree, too.
Really?
Though. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But
interesting.
It was, you know, under, well, little dog, Chihuahua.
Yeah, like Larry.
Yeah.
The dog,
so
not the person.
He would pee on the tree skirt. Of course, he couldn't lift his leg high enough to get up to the... But
right.
Still, same idea.
He just,
you know, under
it,
the tree, there's something about...
In honor
yeah.
of it.
Now, when we were kids, I remember one year we got not just a real tree, but it was still in the pot. And then my parents planted
yeah.
it in the yard afterward. And it's
we did
still
that
there
one year,
to this day.
Planted it, and it grew up until a couple of years ago where my parents used to live. We had to sell the house after they passed away. But you drive by and see the tree, the Christmas tree.
Aww.
And then my sister called. She was very upset.
Don't tell me.
They hacked it down because it got struck by lightning.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, they had to.
Yeah, they had. You know, about the real tree, the thing I do miss when you have a real tree, we had more of them, is you always had that one cousin, like Chucky, or you always have somebody going, hey, you know how to prolong it. You got to put in water. You got to crash out some aspirin. And crush out some Advil. You gonna put some egg white in there. It's like a little drop
You're
orange.
Right.
It's like it's not hungover.
Everybody,
it's what is this?
Everybody had advice about how to
yes.
prolong your
And here's
tree.
The other thing.
Yes,
too.
They still do.
How many arguments have you had over the years with putting in real trees? My ex
debate.
And I
that's
used to always have arguments over getting the tree in the house and maneuvering it and putting it into the stand.
It's a little debate.
And I know a lot of couples have had that
pack
that
of
issue.
Tarantulas didn't come out.
That would cure me. The tarantula. I'd have
I'm done.
That would be
that's it.
That would be it. The snake and the tarantula story. I would call Larry, have him come over to the house and just say, Larry, tell the story. Larry, tell the snake story, tarantula story. We have some eggnog. We're done. We go get the artificial tree.
Are your trees up yet, by the way?
No, not yet. I got to get
mine
an official
is.
One.
Oh, is
you have it?
It
up?
Yeah.
Did you help?
I did. I put the tree up. City decorated it.
Oh. Wow.
So it's a good combo. Let me ask you about holiday lights. Now, you live in a condo,
yes.
Jimmy, so you don't put outdoor lights.
No, but I know the light story, the whole thing. I got to tell you, other than Green Tree, here's how it starts. You go, you know what? I'm going to be simple this year. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm just going to go white lights. Classy, elegant. All of a sudden, 2 doors down, I was at a neighbor. He put up a little more lights. I go out. Next thing you know, I got to put more. We'd compete. My street looked like Vegas. I was like the MGM Grand. He was like the Bellagio.
The Strip, baby.
Yeah, we were fighting.
Nick Papa Giorgio.
Yes. It just builds the competition. But I don't have that this year.
How about you?
Well, I'm in a condo townhouse as well.
There you
now.
Go.
I'm in a townhouse.
I can put.
But you didn't, sort of.
Well, I haven't. I don't know that
You're
I will.
Gonna.
But I'm limited because I'm in an HOA to white lights.
Oh.
You know.
They're dictating that you can only
have meetings on your lights?
Yes.
Hey.
I know. Maybe I should put red and green out and see if anybody says
anything.
No,
that's against the rule.
You get tased and fined.
I was going to say, what happens if you like break the rule?
I don't get it. Christmas lights.
No, but they're like,
Christmas supposed to be red and green to begin with?
Who wants to be that guy?
Yes.
I'm the enforcer of the HOA.
Yes. I'm the enforcer. You cannot use red lights or green, only white lights, Sheila Hyland. You are now banished to the basement of your place. You cannot leave. What can they do to you? What can they do to you if you break
the
rule?
Well, the good news is maybe they would take them down when the holiday season
is
over to get rid of them.
Did you see Sheila?
How about you? I want to know. Do you have yours? What are your outdoor lights like?
Do you do outdoor lights?
What are you doing here? Are you got Vegas?
Yeah.
Are you got MGM or no?
Yeah, I got
your MGM. Okay, good.
No, it's not quite. Maybe to
like
your
the
level.
Clarish.
I got enough just to
like a
make
nice
it
little
look
Clarish.
A lot
nice
of work,
boutique
though,
design. Yeah, and then
up.
Cindy says she has a nerve to say to me, you know, the neighbors have raised the bar.
See, Cindy wants a casino. You just have
keep
a little
up with
casino.
The Joneses for Christmas.
And I'm like, forget about it.
Man. I say bring it. I'll be your blackjack dealer. Make it look like a casino. I'll be out there, you know, buffet.
I'm
we'll
go
to buffet
just
going
to go out and buy a 50-foot inflatable
Desert Cool
leg lamp.
Oh, they have them, I'm sure. I'll bet
see
you can get
now,
that on Amazon.
No.
Oh,
they
they're everywhere.
They do.
They do have them? Okay, I figured.
Different heights, too.
That's
but
awesome.
But then inflatables seem
do
kind
it.
Of
I think
cheap.
Cindy would really appreciate that.
She could use an inflatable.
I'm not crazy about the inflatables on lawns. What do you think? You guys like the inflatable?
Wait, we're talking about a whole different story.
Well, the lamp. I'm just,
inflatable
I mean,
husband.
The inflatable. You like the Santa Clauses and stuff on a lawn?
I don't mind them.
I think they're cute.
I like traditional lights, though.
Yeah.
Maybe a plastic reindeer, I'll give you that, but not inflatable.
All right.
Plastic reindeer. Kind of like them.
They always make me smile, though, when
plastic
I drive
reindeer?
By. No, the inflatables.
Oh.
And remember when we used to go
the goal.
Downtown Pittsburgh strictly to see the holiday windows at Horns, Gimbels, and Kaufman's.
So cool, right?
They don't even exist anymore.
No. None of them. It was a great tradition, right?
Yeah.
But there are some trees around. There's some decorations.
There are.
Go see them. Oh, you can't see them at Jimmy's condo or Sheila. She doesn't have any up, and it sounds like that ain't happening. And if they are, it's just
I have
just
a wreath on the door. Does that count?
No. I have a urethra.
Okay,
well.
He has a urethra on the door.
Can't stop it. Sorry. It's on my mind.
Larry Richard Unfiltered, Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 50. And we thank Dick Roberts, our producer, Jim Patulski, our partner from Face for Radio Productions. And you can download the free Audacy app, AUDACY. And you can check out our podcast or go to kdkradio.com. Guys. Thanks.
It was fun.
It's a wrap.
Been a fun 50.
It's a wrap
so far.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. This is episode 50, guys. I feel Woo-hoo. Like we have reached a milestone.
It's I know.
Our 50th 50. Anniversary.
When we started.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Happy
what
anniversary.
What do we get each other for the 50th?
Is that paper?
That's is it paper? Paper's give me, lame.
I think you give me
50th?
Money on that day.
Isn't it?
I think you give me money, and then next year I give you guys something.
Is
I think
it
that's how it works.
Silver maybe?
I think so.
No, or is
but
that
you
the
know
25th?
What?
I never thought we'd get to 50.
We have a little problem.
What's that?
We promised Marty Griffin that he would be our featured guest on our 50th episode.
Yes.
And we forgot to ask.
But he decided to go on his second honeymoon.
Wow.
Yeah, so
how
I don't
cool
know.
Is that?
You think we should call him?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's do
and
it.
Interrupt
Let's interrupt
his vacation.
Yes.
Well, since you said second honeymoon, absolutely.
Anything could be
so
happening.
We're dialing. We're dialing.
Sir.
Marty.
Sir.
You're live on our podcast, Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. We thought you were going to be here for our 50th episode.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
So we have you. So here you are. We have you on, Marty.
I'm Marty.
We're sorry to interrupt your it's this second honeymoon.
We're having sex right now.
That's awesome.
Are you driving yet?
It's called highway sex. Have you not done this, fellas?
Actually, no.
I'm sorry.
Actually,
I don't deny any of this.
Oh, Christine, I apologize for cutting into your private time.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Well, you know, if it was that private, he wouldn't have picked up the phone.
But it wouldn't have been 50th. We couldn't do it without you, Marty. We could not do the show. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep if you weren't on the show.
Enjoy your hiatus.
Yeah.
And your second honeymoon. And,
happy honeymoon.
We'll see you on the Big K Morning Show.
Oh, my God.
Bye, Marty. I'm Marty.
That's funny.
That's unfiltered.
That's good for a podcast.
You know what's
crazy?
We
were a PG podcast. Now we're an X-rated.
Well, only because of Marty.
R. It's kind of soft R, I think.
Listen.
PG-13.
Christine, his lovely wife,
mm-hmm.
comes in every week for an hour, and it's kind of like being a fly on the wall with the two of them.
Right.
Mm. And
one can only imagine.
What Marty says about his wife and then what Christine says about what Marty says is kind of interesting. But she plays along. But somebody said, I don't get it.
What?
You have Christine, who seems just like the all-American girl.
Right.
And then you have Marty. He's kind of like that bad boy in school. So, Sheila, what is the attraction for all-American girls and bad boys?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. Thank you very much.
I want to know.
So you're a beautiful woman. You would know.
Well, I was married for 20-some years to someone who had... Oh, I should be careful what I'm saying here. But was known to have a lot of women before we met.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was probably seen as more of the good girl type.
Okay.
But yeah, there is something about the bad boy that's enticing. It's not necessarily that healthy for some people anyway. But yeah, I mean, the bad boy, it's there's something about them.
Yeah, that's good.
I no longer ascribe to that, though. I don't go that way anymore.
You guys know I'm holding my virginity till the right time.
Till tomorrow?
Yeah, till the right moment. And so I have to break bad. I got to break bad, like Walter White.
Well, let me ask you, you're still out in the dating world.
I'm out there, buddy.
How's
I'm
it
out
going?
There. That's a combat, my friend.
Oh, gee. Do tell.
It's interesting, let's just say. I find a real nice girl though. I'm hanging with, but there's a lot of it's fun actually. I actually enjoy it. Get to meet a lot of nice people. It's exciting. You know, it's pretty cool. I joke about it, but it's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, you know, I was married also for 24 years, so I know both sides.
Yeah,
both sides are great. Both sides have their greatness. Both sides have their downside. It's basically like really is no.
But yeah, for both of you, well, you're still married, obviously. Larry, how many years?
34.
Okay, so you were married 24 years.
Yeah.
I was married 27 or so. To go out into the dating world after that long, it's so different.
It's like those,
I mean, it is so different.
It's like those movies where you see the guy goes to jail for like 50 years and comes out and doesn't know what a cell phone is and things. It's like that same thing. What is this?
It's just,
you could ask it a question and it answers.
I don't even remember. How do people used to meet prior to meeting online?
You know, it's funny. There was a bar. Remember, the old way was the bars. Go to clubs, bars, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometime a friend, blind date, they called it. There was a bar when I was a kid. It was about early 20s, down in Market Square. Greatest invention ever.
Alexander Graham Bell.
Thank you. You just read my mind.
Whoa.
Alexander Graham Bell's.
Good memory.
No one has duplicated this idea, and it was genius for singles, because what it was, Alexander Graham Bell, every table had a phone. And so, say a beautiful woman like Sheila's across the room, and you have a map of all the chairs. So, I'd say Sheila's at number 18 table. You could pick the phone up and dial and talk to the person.
Seriously. And this is pre...
You sound like you did it. Did you try
pre-mobile.
That?
Pre-mobile.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I was there.
Here's our
it was ingenious.
Right?
Yeah. And this was...
This was pre-mobile, like you said. No one thought of it.
And every table had a phone, and you could see the number was on a grid, and you could, if you wanted to introduce yourself, hey, babe, I'll be back to pick you up later.
But is that not the greatest idea? Because, you know, the girl doesn't want, okay, thanks. If you like girl or whatever, send the drink over. It's kind of cool, though.
But here's the difference, though. But that's all based on initial looks, am I right?
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
Okay. But online dating, you really get to know the person first, typically, before you even meet them. Now, you may see pictures of them.
It's more advanced.
But that's what I mean. It's just, it's still so different.
Yeah, it is.
Than even that.
Well, right. Well, the photos, too. Don't forget the photos.
They're all fake.
You know.
Well.
Sure. Get there.
They're enhanced.
Yeah.
Right?
No! No, I mean, mine was just nothing but my head and some big sunglasses, because I didn't want anybody to recognize me.
Wow. Maybe they were dating a spy.
Well, I did get some comments like, can we see more of you?
Yeah, are you undercover?
Can I see more of
you?
Wow. Andy almost passed me up.
Sure, Andy.
He wasn't sure.
Andy thought.
But he took the chance.
Andy Price thought.
He took the chance.
He's dating someone from the Witness Protection Program.
That's hilarious. I want to see more of you. How about some of you?
I want to know, now, do you and Cindy ever recreate, like, let's go out, let's have a date night?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good.
No,
right?
Dude, I remember that stuff. Sure, you got to do it all.
You got to give a little effort. You got to stay
when you're doing
it
when you're married.
Yeah, I mean, after 34 years, it's challenging to recreate the date night excitement.
Have you guys ever read a book? I recommend people read this book. The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott.
I've heard of it.
I'm reading it for the second time, ironically, for the second time.
There's a section, there's about three chapters he has on love, and it is the most incredible, I think, written chapters about what love is. And he basically is explaining from a, you know, scientific point of view, I guess, or through research or whatever, but, and also as a psychiatrist would say, and he said, when we meet, as you know, you get this endorphin rush, okay? Because you just met this person, you're attracted to them. Now, that endorphin rush just drops, and you know, you're just, I'm in love, or can he say, and it's part of love, it is in a way. And then we all of a sudden connect. But it is about 2 years after that goes away, that's when love begins, real love. Because now it's a choice. That syrup is gone. Whatever that is, gone. It's your choice. Love's a choice. It's two individuals coming together independently, and celebrating each other. If it's not, then it's just two people eating away at each other. It's not. Mm-hmm. That's not love.
You know, yeah, you got to get out of your love. Head. You know, those endorphins and so forth, as you mentioned, they do die down.
Yeah.
And then what do you have after that?
That's when love begins.
That's when the relationship really happens.
That's when it starts and love begins. If you're, you know, you say, okay, I choose this person. You know, this is the one I choose. I get along with them. We have fun. We laugh. And that's where it starts. But the actual endorphins, we all get that. And it depends how we value that, too, as we get that, you know.
That reminds me of Foreigner's song, I Want to Know What Love Is.
Yes.
I got to introduce Foreigner on stage.
Oh,
Lou Graham, and I said,
sweet.
And this was just down in Anna Maria Island last year.
I remember that. It's cool. Yeah, last year.
And my line was, so I was with Elliot Falcioni, okay, the executive director of the Bradenton Convention and Visitors Bureau, which I told you guys about. We're still going to go there.
Love Bradenton.
We're going to go there this year.
I've traveled all over the world, but I've been to Bradenton about 20 times my life because of spring training.
He introduced me, and I introduced Lou Graham and Foreigner. And I said, I'm only here because I want to know what love is. Yes. And I looked at Elliot and said, I don't want you to show me.
No.
But, by the way, Jimmy, you gave me this great line from Uncle Dirty, who wrote, I guess, jokes for who?
Richard Pryor and Carlin, and George Carlin. Both of those guys confirmed it, too.
Two of the greatest of all time, right?
Yeah.
So we had this big meeting. This was here, a monthly meeting for the entire station.
Yeah.
And at the end, Dave Labrosi, our brand manager, we used to call him program directors, was there with our GM, SPAC.
Yeah.
And they said, does anybody have any questions or comments? And I said, yeah, I do. And they all looked at me like, where's he going with this? And I said, I just talked to Jimmy Crenn, and Jimmy met a famous comedy writer, Uncle Dirty, who wrote for Richard Pryor and George Carlin. Mm-hmm. And now they're really looking at me like, where is he going with this? And I said, good is the enemy of great. And
there you go.
SPAC finished it.
There you go.
He knew it. And I'm like, yeah. And the message is, you can be satisfied with harmless mediocrity, or you can choose to be great.
And there's a risk in that.
And there is a risk.
And I'm shocked. When did Mike work with Uncle Dirty? I have to ask him.
I don't know. We got to ask back. How did he know what I was going to say?
No, it's just a cool, good as the enemy, great. And it's a thing where I forgot about that until we talked about that. And I've been using it in my head.
Jimmy, I told you on the phone the other day. I said, I've been everywhere I go, I'm throwing that out there like it's new material.
And what's the response?
I was with Pitt football coach Pat Narduzzi.
There you go.
Oh, you used it on him too.
On the Pat Narduzzi show.
That's cool.
With one of the players, big lineman, Marcus Miner. And he was talking about why he chose Pitt.
Right.
He's a grad transfer, came from Maryland. Mm-hmm. Because he said they never talked about winning a championship at Maryland. He said, but when he heard Coach Narduzzi talk, their breakdown was ACC champs.
Right.
That was before the season last year. And he thought, well, that's pretty bold. But isn't that what you want to choose? To be great.
You want to go for it.
Yeah. So I said,
And I used your quote again with the coach, who's a good motivational guy. You know, he's a fiery, emotional guy. I said, good is the enemy of great.
What'd he say?
And Marcus Miner's like, yes. Yeah. And Coach Narduzzi's looking at me like, I like that.
There you go.
Profound. Larry, huh? You know it all.
I stole it from Uncle Dirty through Jimmy Crenn.
Oh,
Uncle Dirty's going to.
You shouldn't have given it away.
Uncle Dirty, that's tremendous. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's cool.
And I've used it in some other places, too.
Okay.
I saw. Did you ever watch Bryant Gumbel's Real Sports?
Yeah, mm-hmm. all the time.
Oh,
love it.
I mean,
great
it's
show.
Really deep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They go really deep into the weeds on stories, and I love that. And they talked about this skier, Michaela, I forget her last name, Olympic skier. She was anticipated to win all these medals skiing, but she kind of crapped out at three events.
Right.
And she had done all this stuff to get to that point in the conversation, and I was yelling, good! Is the enemy of great the TV.
Yeah.
She was saying it, you know, even though she stumbled, you know, she chose to be
risk.
Great.
You have to choose to be great. I guess. Right. Nice line there. You have to choose to take
well,
the risk.
Thank you for sharing that, because I got some mileage out of that.
And I was thinking, it helped me to remember it. I was at Seven Springs this past week doing a show.
How'd that go?
It went great. Sold out. Everybody's in a great mood, you know?
Except for one thing.
One thing. Bad knee.
Mm-hmm.
I have gout in my knee, believe it or not.
Ouch.
Yes, it's the most painful thing. I used to get in my toe. It's the first time I ever got in my knee. I had to deduct that it was gout. And now, this is weird, because I remember being on stage. I had to tell the crowd, because I limped up on the stage. And I said...
You hobbled.
I hobbled. I was hobbling up. No crutch, just hobbled. Hopped, kind of. It was weird. But I looked at the crowd and I said... Look, I actually injured my knee. I don't know how. Because think about it. It's gout. I didn't know it was gout at the time. My knee's just hurting. I'm like, how do I get out of bed 2 days ago and I'm injured. So I told a guy if he would knock me over on a ski, at the end of bottom like a ski lift, so I could at least tell people I hurt at skiing. So I said, how'd you hurt your knee? Seven Springs.
Sounds
North,
like a much sexier
North Face,
excuse.
You know,
North
took it out.
Face.
North Face took it out.
Black
It'll get better.
Diamond.
Yeah, Black Diamond. You know how it is. I'll get it fixed. But so it ended up being, it's gout. So I have anti-inflammatories in me, prednisone. But it's the most painful thing if you ever had gout. You ever got it?
I never
women
had
it.
I heard
don't
it. My father
it.
Used to get it.
And your dad got it.
No, so I know, okay, beer.
Wow.
What is it?
Yes.
Shellfish?
Every
what
single
causes
food.
It?
What causes
that,
everything
that
I
good.
Eat. Everything I eat. beer, shellfish, anything sweet. Here's the thing. I researched this. Because I have gotten gout through the years, you know, since I was late 20s, which is weird. You don't get them in late 20s usually. So I did research on it. And really, if you look into it, they really don't know what causes it. They know there's this thing, allopurinol, that lowers your uric acid. That helps. But they really don't know. And something dawned on me with gout, why I have it. I have a sickness that hurts. That won't kill me, okay? And you recover eventually from it. So there's no cure. You're not going to get a lot of money. You're not going to have people on TV going, we got to wipe out gout in our time. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Yes, because it's so low down the list. It'll never be cured because there's never going to be enough money because people are going to sit there and go, there's a walk for gout today. No, there's no walk for gout because no one cares. Because they're like, by the time we'd raise the... Time the fundraiser started, my knee's better. They're like, well, I thought he got hurting.
That's
we
like
give
the
money to.
Cold.
The guy can dance up there. I'm like, yeah, but it hurt before.
And right below that is socks without partners.
Yes, socks without partners. Poor gout sufferers out there with me. We got a bank. Let's start is there a gout association? No. Do we have Larry hosting a gout fundraiser?
There could be a new role for
of
you,
all the
Jimmy.
Charities I've ever done, I never did one for gout.
Thank you. I'm starting one right now.
Okay.
Jim
good.
Crenn's.
Gout for humanity.
Gout for humanity. The Gout Foundation.
The Gout Brigade.
The Gout Foundation. Donate now.
I'm wearing a t-shirt, the Gout Brigade.
Do not send beer.
I want to wipe this out in our time. That's the whole thing. I get all emotional. I don't
what is it, actually? You said shellfish?
Well, what it is if you have high uric acid, you're either going to get one or two things. You're going to get kidney stones, which are even worse, I think, than gout.
I thank God, knock wood, haven't had those. So you either go that way with kidney stones or you go with gout. It's a crystallization. The same little thing in the kidney stone that they got to flush through your body, which is horrible. But it's the same thing, but it lodges in a joint and that until it dissolves or, you know, moves on. So it's in your toe usually.
So it's a physiological.
It's an arthritic.
Pain, it's like you got a piece of glass in your joint.
Yes, it's in the arthritic family.
Yeah, I understand. It's extremely painful.
It's equivalent to breaking a bone.
To
the
giving birth.
Continuously.
Ooh.
I have a friend that just is coming off like major. Jeff, my buddy, the radio guy.
Yeah. The gout?
No, kidney stones.
Oh, God. Okay.
He said they went up through his urethra.
Yeah, and I don't. Then it sounds as bad as. It sounds bad, and I'm sure it is that bad.
I don't know what it'd be like for women, but the thought of that for
don't ever touch my urethra. It's one place. That is off limits.
I'll keep that in mind.
That is off limits.
I don't think there's any concerns there.
You're safe
I don't
want here.
Anything.
This is your safe zone.
Near my urethra.
Do they anesthetize you first before they go up your urethra?
That's what I asked him because that's my number one. Like, if you're going to go to the hospital and they're going to do something like that, you're going to knock me out.
You know how they have those badges? Like, if you're allergic to something, I'm going to put on my little badge, a medic alert badge, don't touch my urethra. I'm going to go say no. You know? Is he allergic to anything? No, but it says don't touch his urethra on his badge.
I had a colonoscopy last year. And they put you in, you know, you're under, but I woke up. Oh, it's terrifying.
What? You woke up?
Oh, in the middle of it?
You're laying on your side.
Right.
You know, you got that gown they drape over you.
Yes.
So at that point, when the nurse is talking right before you go under from the anesthesia, the next thing you know, you're in la-la land. See, I don't remember
propofol, which is what Jackson had.
But swear to God. So I'm laying on my side, and I guess he's doing his thing, the doc. And I wake up.
On the other end.
And they're talking about lacrosse, their kids playing lacrosse, the nurse.
Oh, my God.
And the doctor.
Well.
And I answered one of her questions.
You did.
And she goes, oh.
And Larry's up.
They crank something. I was gone.
Thank God you didn't wake up to like margaritas and dancing and partying. It's like, Larry's like the pinata or something.
Just had that procedure done three days ago. Now, the prep is much worse than I remember it when I had it first done 10 years ago. I mean, we're talking 3 days of
it's not good.
Prep and a special diet, first of all, and then you start the prep about 36 hours before the procedure. Yeah, I mean,
it's not pretty.
It was a nightmare this time. Last time, I don't remember it being that difficult, but
you good?
I'm good. I'm good, yes.
I had mine a long time ago. I shouldn't avoid it, but I should do it pretty soon. But it's one of those things where, I'll get there.
That stuff they give you to knock you out there, it's so good.
Well, that's true.
Procedure itself is...
No, it's nothing.
Yeah, nothing. You're out.
Yeah. Well, you're like...
You're out unless you're Larry and wake up and there's a party going on around you other than that.
And the lacrosse, and I'm like, that was awful. But we got to put the 60-second rule in. Did I tell you about that, the guy?
What's the 60-second rule?
So I met this older guy, older than us, and that would be to Jimmy and I, not you.
Yeah, you. Thanks a lot, I appreciate that.
He meets with his guys, coffee. They're in their 80s, his buddies.
Okay.
And he goes, I got the 60-second rule with my group. I go, what's that? He said, you got 60 seconds to talk about your medical maladies. That includes prescription drugs and your family members.
I'm all in. I like that.
So he said, and we time you.
Okay.
If you start down that road.
You get 60 seconds.
You get 60 seconds. Wrap it up, then we're moving on.
This is how you know when you've reached older age. Yeah. Not old age, but older age. Because you do start talking about colonoscopies and gout and your urethra.
I like it. I'm going to do that. Well, I'm going to do...
Don't touch my urethra. Don't even wristbands are available.
Don't even bring it. I'm going to do 90 seconds. I like it. That whole idea. I just need a little more
90?
Time. I need a little more time.
You need a little more time.
You take a little longer to tell the story.
I like a minute. Minute's good. But 90 seconds, I'm all in. Because I can get a little more out. I just got to get a little more.
Oh, my God.
You know, because I got a long list.
And it's true, Sheila. What do you do when you get together with friends? At some point, When you ask how somebody is,
oh, boom. They're going to tell you.
Because
they're
it's happening all of a sudden to you. You know, as we get older, it's like these aches and pains, man. My gout. By then, we will have wiped out gout in our time, I hope, by the time we're in our 80s, Larry.
And then we'll have to start up the urethra foundation.
Oh, it even scares me when you gout. Say that word. It scares me when you say that word, urethra.
I don't even like that word.
No, that, it doesn't.
And
don't
who
touch
named
my urethra.
The planets Uranus?
That's our new t-shirt.
Like, what were
true.
They thinking?
Where was that one? That was a joke, right? They were joking. One scientist was joking, right?
It Come had on. To be. I want to know who
Mars,
came up with
Venus.
That. They go, yeah, that's great.
Uranus.
Of all the words in the world in the universe.
Let's give them Uranus, right?
Let's call that planet Uranus. Years from now, people will be saying, we've just landed on Uranus.
Uranus. That's why they did it. There was a scientist who did that as a joke thinking, that's the ultimate goal. He said, I won't be here for it, but like 50 years from now, God will be wiped out and we'll be landing on Uranus. And it'll be saying
it's like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the true. Former planet known as Pluto.
Yes.
I mean, whole different connotation.
Pluto's back you know? Now.
Pluto's back now. It's
he,
now planet
he was
again.
Gonna, he was gonna, I'm going to either name it Urethra or Uranus. He went Uranus. Because urethra would have been painful, too.
Or Klingons are circling Uranus.
Yes. It's nonstop.
From
it's
Star
right there.
Wars. Yeah,
yes.
I mean, come on.
Believe me.
You're right,
I
Jimmy.
I love
I'm going to investigate.
Stuff.
Hey, let's see. Because Siri was just trying to talk
yeah.
to me. Hey, Siri, what scientist named Uranus?
Here's an answer from history.com. It was German astronomer Johann Bode who recommended the name Uranus, a Latinized version of the Greek god of the sky, Uranus. However, the name Uranus didn't gain full acceptance until the mid-1800s.
Yeah, because Uranus is funnier.
Okay, so you're, but she pronounced it Uranus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But whoever that doctor was, that guy?
Dr. Vinny Bombatz.
He is funny. That guy's a comedian. He did that just
he
for the joke.
He did that. He knew what he was doing.
Oh, come on. Exactly. He goes, I just think it's to be Uranus. And they're like, oh, okay.
There you
he
go.
Got home and just, he probably couldn't even keep a straight face.
How about
saying
Siri
it.
Knowing that? That's disturbing.
Now, what, and what's her accent there? You don't have the
I
typical
have an Australian
Siri.
Woman.
Oh.
You know why?
I like
because
that.
Siri sounded so much like my wife, and I'd be oh. in the car by myself. I'd be getting
right.
yelled at.
Right.
Recalculating. It's all just, right, Cindy.
It's a change Siri to a little Australian, beautiful Australian voice.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to do that today.
To me.
Yeah, but you should see what she really looks like.
You know, I have mine in a Pittsburgh. I have a Pittsburgh one in my series, not called Siri. Mine's called Joanne. You know, it's like, hey, Joanne, what's the temperature? Well, I look like the weatherman. Go look at the window. You know, Joanne, stop it right there. You ask too many questions, Jimmy. It's not easy being with Joanne, but I like it.
All right. Are we done with the medical talk?
Let's talk more. I could talk.
I don't
know.
I think we
went
way over our 60 seconds.
Yeah, well. I take the blame.
Oh, wait, Jimmy's not done. See?
I take the blame because of the gout. Sorry. Apologize.
It's all right.
I couldn't stop.
We're glad your gout is better.
Thank you, Sheila.
That's right. How's your urethra?
Quick question.
That's another question about your urethra.
Marty Griffin, our featured guest for our 50th episode, he asked, real or artificial? Sheila, I'm talking about trees. Christmas
oh, I was
trees.
Concerned.
Oh, I was thinking something else. I was going to say, well, I like them both.
I'm like, mine are real, but oh, wait,
I
trees.
Like them both, really.
Okay.
I would never ask a woman. I mean, it's obvious.
I would hope not.
No, I would never do
but
that.
But if you're answering the question, I
real
like them both.
Or artificial tree?
Artificial.
Me too.
Artificial all day long.
Yeah.
I don't need needles.
You pull them out year after year after year.
Well, you
save
heard,
yourself a lot of money.
Yeah. So we put this out on the air. And some people called with some real tree horror stories.
Really?
One was a black snake came out of the tree.
That is a...
Once they dragged it in the house.
That's crazy. I don't know what I do.
Oh.
I don't know what I do.
I don't like snakes. Just like Raiders of the Lost Ark. The other thing was, and this was Patrick O'Connor, who works with Get Marty.
Okay.
He said, oh, I saw on the floor there was something moving and it was getting bigger.
What?
And it was a spider's nest had it released.
Oh, my
no.
God. That's the end of that. That's the end of that, man.
There will never be a live tree then.
I was even thinking of possibly a real tree.
As a child, so we had real trees. My dad put the one on the back porch for a while. Was gonna. They used to set it. Hey, will you stop?
Your Australian lady can't stop.
She can't stop talking to me.
Seriously,
I didn't even ask her a
you.
Question.
She likes you. She's nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they would put up everything on Christmas Eve. The tree, the train, the presents. And one year, my dad pulled the tree off the back porch, put it up, and it was frozen. I mean, it had snowed, and it was really cold.
Right.
And it, as it thawed, a strong sense of urine emanated from it. Oof. Well, it turns out before the leash laws, the neighborhood dogs were using it as a fire hydrant.
To relieve themselves.
And
yes.
That cured us. After that year, we went to the artificial.
I experienced the same thing in a different way. I got a real tree about 4 years ago, and Larry, the dog, not Larry, the person, thought it was a gift for him to do that. He thought he'd walk by it, he'd take a little shot at it and walk off. And I was like, Larry, this is not what you do here. This is not in the spirit of Christmas. He didn't care.
Our dog would do that with the artificial tree too.
Really?
Though. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But
interesting.
It was, you know, under, well, little dog, Chihuahua.
Yeah, like Larry.
Yeah.
The dog,
so
not the person.
He would pee on the tree skirt. Of course, he couldn't lift his leg high enough to get up to the, but
right.
Still, same idea.
He just,
you know, under
it,
the tree, there's something about.
In honor
yeah.
of it.
Now, when we were kids, I remember one year we got not just a real tree, but it was still in the pot. And then my parents planted
yeah.
it in the yard afterward. And it's
we
still
did that
there
one
to
year,
this day.
Planted it, and it grew up until a couple of years ago where my parents used to live. We had to sell the house after they passed away, but you drive by and see the tree, the Christmas tree.
Aww.
And then my sister called. She was very upset.
Don't tell me.
They hacked it down because it got struck by lightning.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, they had to.
Yeah, they had. You know, about the real tree, the thing I do miss when you have a real tree, we had more of them, is you always had that one cousin, like Chucky, or you always have somebody going, hey, you know what? You know how to prolong it. You got to put in water. You got to crash out some aspirin. And crush out some Advil. You gonna put some egg white in there. It's like a little drop
You're
orange.
Right.
It's like it's not hungover.
Everybody,
it's what is this?
Everybody had advice about how to
yes.
prolong your
and
tree.
Here's the other thing.
Yes,
too.
They still do.
How many arguments have you had over the years with putting in real trees?
My
ex and I
that's
used to always have arguments over getting the tree in the house and maneuvering it and putting it into the stand.
You're lucky.
And I know a lot of couples have had that
pack
that
of
issue.
Tarantulas didn't come out.
That would cure me. The tarantula. I'd have to.
I'm done.
That would be
that's it.
That would be it. The snake and the tarantula story. I would call Larry, have him come over to the house and just say, Larry, tell the story. Larry, would tell the snake story, tarantula story. We have some eggnog. We're done. We go get the artificial tree.
Are your trees up yet, by the way?
No, not yet. I got to get
mine
them
is.
One.
Oh, is
you
it?
Have it up?
Yeah.
Did you help?
I did. I put the tree up. City decorated it.
Wow.
So it's a good combo. Let me ask you about holiday lights. Now, you live in a condo,
yes.
Jimmy, so but you don't put outdoor lights.
No, but I know the light story, the whole I got to tell you, other than Green Tree, here's how it starts. You go, you know what? I'm going to be simple this year. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm just going to go white lights. Classy, elegant. All of a sudden, 2 doors down, I was at a neighbor. He put up a little more lights. And I go out. Next thing you know, I got to put more. We'd compete. My street looked like Vegas. I was like the MGM Grand. He was like the Bellagio.
The Strip, baby.
Yeah, we were fighting.
Nick Papa Giorgio.
Yes. It just builds the competition. But I don't have that this year.
How about you?
Well, I'm in a condo townhouse as well.
There you
now.
Go.
I'm in a townhouse.
I can put.
But you didn't,
sort of.
Well, I haven't. I don't know that
you're
I will.
Gonna.
But I'm limited because I'm in an HOA to white lights.
Oh.
You know.
They're dictating that you can only
have meetings on your lights?
Yes. I know. Maybe I should put red and green out and see if anybody says
anything.
No,
that's against the rule.
You get tased and fined.
I was going to say, what happens if you like break the rule?
Is
there someone comes
by? Christmas lights.
No, but they
look like, Christmas
who wants
supposed
to be
red and green to begin with?
Who wants to be that guy?
Yes.
I'm the enforcer of the HOA.
Yes. I'm the enforcer. You cannot use red lights or green, only white lights, Sheila Helen. You are now banished to the basement of your place. You cannot leave. What can they do to you? What can they do to you if you break
well,
the rule?
Well, the good news is maybe they would take them down when the holiday season
You're
is over
us.
To get rid of them.
Did you see Sheila?
How about you? I want to know. Do you have yours? What are your outdoor lights like?
Do you do outdoor lights?
What are you doing here? Are you got Vegas?
Yeah.
Are you got MGM or no?
Yeah, I got
you MGM. Okay, good.
No, it's not quite maybe to
like
your
the
level.
Clarage.
I got enough just to
like a nice little Claridge.
That's
a boutique
though,
design. Yeah, and then Cindy says she has a nerve to say to me, you know, the neighbors have raised the bar.
See, Cindy wants a casino. You just have
keep
a little
up with
casino.
The Joneses for Christmas.
And I'm like, forget about it.
Man. I say, bring it. I'll be your blackjack dealer. Make it look like a casino. I'll be out there, you know, buffet.
I'm
we'll
go
to buffet
just
going to
go out and buy a 50-foot inflatable
Desert Cool
leg lamp.
Oh, they have them, I'm sure. I'll bet you can get that on Amazon.
No.
Oh, they're everywhere.
They do.
They do have them? Okay.
Different heights, too.
That's awesome.
And the inflatables seem
to
be.
Do it. I think Cindy would really appreciate that.
She could use an inflatable.
I'm not crazy about the inflatables on lawns. What do you think? You guys like the inflatable?
Wait, we're talking about a whole different story.
Well, the lamp.
Inflatable husband.
The inflatable. You like the Santa Clauses and stuff on a lawn?
I don't mind them.
I think they're cute. Yeah.
I like traditional lights, though.
Yeah.
Maybe a plastic reindeer, I'll give you that, but not inflatable.
All right.
Plastic reindeer. Kind of like them.
They always make me smile, though, when I
plastic
drive
reindeer?
By. No, the inflatables.
Oh.
And remember when we used to go
that's the goal.
Downtown Pittsburgh strictly to see the holiday windows at Horns, Gimbels, and Kaufman's.
So cool, right?
They don't even exist anymore.
No.
Not
it was
them.
A great tradition, right?
Yeah.
But there are some trees around. There's some decorations.
There are.
Go see
like
them. Oh, you can't see them at Jimmy's condo or
no.
Sheila. She doesn't have any up, and it sounds like that ain't happening. And if they are, it's just
I have
just
a wreath on
of...
the door. Does that count?
No.
I have a urethra.
Okay, well.
He has a urethra on the door.
Can't stop it. Sorry. It's on my mind.
Larry Richard Unfiltered, Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 50. And we thank Dick Roberts, our producer, Jim Patulski, our partner from Face for Radio Productions. And you can download the free Audacy app, AUDACY, and you can check out our podcast or go to kdkradio.com. Guys, thanks.
That was fun.
It's a wrap.
Been a fun 50.
It's a wrap
so far.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.